even the ones we don't know. Please take your Bibles, turn to Acts chapter 20. I'll be reading verses 17 through 38. And out of reverence to God, please stand as His word is read. Acts chapter 20, beginning in verse 17. Now, from Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and summoned the elders of the church. When they came to him, he said to them, "You know, from the first day I set foot in Asia, how I was with you the whole time, serving the Lord with all humility, with tears, and during the trials that came to me through the plots of the Jews. You know that I did not avoid proclaiming to you anything that was profitable or from teaching you publicly and from house to house. I testified to both Jews and Greeks about repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus. And now I am on my way to Jerusalem, compelled by the Spirit, not knowing what I will encounter there, except that in every town the Holy Spirit warns me that chains and afflictions are waiting for me. But I consider my life of no value to myself. My purpose is to finish my course and the ministry I receive from the Lord Jesus, to testify to the gospel of God's grace. And now I know that none of you among whom I went about preaching the kingdom will ever see me again. Therefore, I declare to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all of you, because I did not avoid declaring to you the whole plan of God. Be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has appointed you as overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. I know that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Men will rise up, even from your own number, and distort the truth to lure the disciples into following them. Therefore, be on the alert. Remember that night and day, for 3 years, I never stopped warning each one of you with tears. And now I commit you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all who are sanctified. I have not coveted anyone's silver or gold or clothing. You yourselves know that I work with my own hands to support myself and those who are with me. In every way, I've shown you that it is necessary to help the weak by laboring like this and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, because he said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." After he said this, he knelt down and prayed with all of them. There were many tears shed by everyone. They embraced Paul and kissed him, grieving most of all over his statement that they would never see his face again. And they accompanied him to the ship. You may be seated. As we continue in our study of the book of Acts, last service Sunday, last Wednesday, we looked about sleeping in church. Now, that's not telling you just go ahead and get a blanket, although we have them in the back. We don't quite need them yet. It's not cold enough yet, but they'll be out on the pews. And that's not for you to go to sleep in church, but it's the incident of a man who fell asleep in church. Now, it's not like so many you see that are they're not agreeing with the sermon. You know, there's a different perspective from up here than from your side. Now, if you're in the back, you can see the heads, the back of the heads. But you don't see their eyes. Here, it's not that people are always agreeing. Well, there are some people that fall asleep that way. But this guy, Eutychus, the Greek word is very clear. He was fighting to stay awake, but sleep won. Paul had headed back to Jerusalem, and he was stopping at one town, at Troas, to speak to the people there and telling them final instructions. And there was one guy, as he was speaking, he spoke from the beginning of service till about midnight, and Eutychus was sitting in the window. And it says there were many lamps in that room, and he was up in the third floor window. Now, lamps are not like these here. You got oil-burning lamps. It's warm. Paul's been talking for a long time. It's midnight. He's trying to stay awake, but he falls asleep, and he falls out of the window. Three floors. Now, Dr. Luke, who is with Paul, and we know that because in this section, it uses the, and we were here and we were there. Now, when Luke is not with Paul, is he did this and they did that. But Luke is with him, and Luke can recognize a dead person. He's a doctor. Luke is the one that wrote down the book of Acts. Paul goes down, raises him from the dead, and then goes back to talking to him until 6 in the morning, till dawn. So some of you might say, Steve, you preach a long time. I don't preach as long as Paul. I don't go to midnight and raise the dead and then go back to 6. But Paul did. And it's not like that was Paul's normal pattern. He was going to leave the next day. He wanted to give final instructions. And he leaves. He comes down off the coast, down past Ephesus. He says he didn't want to stop in Ephesus. Now, why he didn't stop in Ephesus, there's just speculation. It could have been that he knew the ship the ship wouldn't have sailed on a schedule that would get him to Jerusalem at Pentecost. Or it could have been he knew if he went there, everybody in the church where he had spent 3 years would just be such a burden to him that he couldn't tear himself away. So he sent for the leaders of the church while he's in Miletus, and that's where our passage is today. In verse 17, it says, "Now from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and summoned the elders of the church." Now, he didn't summon all the church, just the mature believers. Now, I have switched from last year teaching high school to this year teaching pre-K. I still have all my instruction. I could teach calculus. I could teach algebra. But pre-K, four-year-old students are not ready for algebra. Well, Paul was giving a message to the church leaders, the more mature Christians, of something they needed to hear. It was still true for the younger believers, still be true for people that are not believers, but he's specifically addressing his message to believers. And Paul says, "Look at my example." He goes, "You know, from the first day I set foot in Asia, how I was with you the whole time, serving the Lord with all humility, with tears, and during the trials that came to me through the plots of the Jews." We can learn a lot from Paul's example. He starts out, says, "I came with all humility." It's not like when you watch a football game and this guy scores a touchdown and he goes in and does his touchdown dance. Like, look at all I did. Well, what about the people that blocked for you? What about everyone else that made it possible for you to get there? The people that did all their parts. But too often you see that touchdown dance of people that, "Oh, look at me, look at me." That's not what Paul is saying. It's the opposite of that. So look at the other people. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 3, he expands upon this. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 3. He says, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility consider others as more important than yourselves." Paul says, look to other people first. Give credit to other people. Don't be looking at, "Let me get the glory." Now, last night, there were a lot of people that were saying, "Look at me, look at what I did with a baseball team." But it didn't happen all alone. We need, as Christians, to serve one another with humility. And then it says, and with tears. Paul was one that was concerned about others. We watched the video and saw about our introduction to Lonnie Moon Offering, how we need to pan back and look at all the people. Well, all those people that were in Minute Maid Park are not heading to heaven right now. Some of them are. Are we concerned more about who won the game than who gets to heaven? Is there tears over people making the choices to abandon God and choose to go their own way? Paul says he worked with tears. He was concerned about the decision people made. He knew he couldn't make the decision for them. But he knew that those people that were abandoning Christ, ignoring the message, were heading to hell. And during the trials, the Jewish leaders, interesting here, they were the ones that led most of the opposition. It wasn't so much like Demetrius did in Ephesus, the silversmith. That was more rare than the Jewish leaders leading the opposition against Paul's preaching. Well, we need to continue living our life as a Christian, being an example, even though we're going to face opposition. November 11th is when we celebrate Veterans Day. It's a time to remember veterans. Veterans, you need to remember, knew what they were going to do. They knew they were facing danger, but they still went and faced that danger because they were protecting the people that were left behind. So Paul is saying, I faced the dangers, the plots of the Jewish leaders, because the battle was important to get you the truth. And then verse 20, look at what it says there. You know that I did not avoid proclaiming to you anything that was profitable or for teaching you publicly and from house to house. Paul spoke the whole truth, and it wasn't some secret message. It's, I was thinking about how my virus software, you run the scan, and then at the end it says, if you pay us this extra amount of money, we can protect you from other things. It's like they're holding back something. They're trying to get you to give them more money so you have that sense of security. Paul says, I didn't hold anything back. I didn't tell you you got to do something extra to get the full message. Paul didn't go up and said, now, if you want to hear the secret way to get to heaven, please insert $5 into the offering plate. No, he didn't say that. He spoke the whole truth, everything that needed to be told, which is what we need to do. We need to speak the whole truth, not holding back the truth as we tell other people about Jesus Christ. In verse 21, it says, I testified to both Jews and Greeks about repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus. He gave the same message to everybody. There was a ship that was called Unsinkable, the Titanic. And there were different classes. You had first class, second class, and third class accommodations. And there were gates that kept you out of the other area. Well, as the ship was sinking, somebody thought it would be a good idea to lock the gates and keep the people in third class from getting up to the lifeboats. Now, there's nothing that said that it was the policy to lock them, but the testimony said somebody came up and locked the gates because they didn't want the third class passengers getting up to the lifeboats. Just the first and second class could get in the lifeboats. Well, Paul didn't prevent anybody from hearing the message. The lifeboat would have saved people from the freezing waters in the North Atlantic. in the Titanic. The message that Paul was preaching was to save people from the fires of hell. And he didn't say, well, you don't deserve to hear the message. You don't deserve to hear the message. Demetrius, who we looked at earlier, who led a riot against Paul. Paul wanted him to be saved and be in heaven too. He might be there. We don't know. We don't know, as Paul Harvey used to say, the rest of the story. What happened to many of these people afterwards. But Paul preached, and interesting, in our verse 21, he testified to both Jews and Greeks about repentance. The little Greek says the repentance. It's not just a repentance, not just a feeling sorry to God. It's the repentance that leads to acknowledgement that we are a sinner. Now, some of you, I got to use one of my favorite tracks here. And I showed a couple of you how to do that. This looks like a wallet, doesn't it? Here's how you use it. That's it. And then if you want to, you go, did you drop that? It's not a real wallet, but it's the message of salvation inside. And I restocked our supply back in the foyer of these. You can take those or any other tracks. The thing I like about this, people know what they were going to do with it when they picked it up. They thought it was real. Were they going to take the money out of it? Were they going to try to find who it belonged to and give it back to them? Were they going to take the money out of it and then give it back saying there wasn't any money in it there? You're convicted because you know what you were going to do if this had actually been real. That helps us realize that we are sinners before God. And there's other tracks in the back. Take them and use them. They don't do any good sitting on the track rack. The track rack can collect dust by itself. It doesn't need tracks in it. So take them. We can get more. Paul preached the repentance toward God and the faith in our Lord Jesus. We must realize that we are sinners. We have offended a holy God, and we are facing a judgment day. And the only way that we can get to heaven is by acknowledging and accepting the blood of Jesus Christ that paid our sin debt. There's no plan B, C, D, E, or F. There is only one way to heaven, and that's the blood of Jesus covering our sin debt. And Paul preached the repentance and the faith in Jesus Christ. You can have faith in all kind of things, but it doesn't save you. It's only faith in Jesus Christ. And then Paul went on and said, I'm following God's lead. I'm heading to Jerusalem. I know it's going to be tough. Everywhere I go, people tell me through the Holy Spirit that affliction and trials face me. But God has given me a task, and I'm going to go do it. During World War II, there were battles in the Pacific. One of the battles, or one of the parts of the battles, focused on a man that believed, Scripture says, do not murder, applied to a soldier too. So he was not going to take up arms, but he volunteered to be the one that's right there as a medic, taking care of those. His name was Desmond Doss. You might have seen the movie called Hacksaw Ridge. 150 men went up the side of this cliff. 50 of them came back down. The rest were left on top of the ridge because the attacks were coming in so fierce. Desmond Doss stayed at the top to tend to the wounded. For 5 hours, he went, got the wounded, took them to the edge of the cliff, and let them down by rope. his comment was, he kept asking God, Lord, let me have him just one more. Went and got another one. Let him down. Over 100 people were let down. He said, didn't think it was that many. He had a job. He was the medic. And he was serving God. Just one more, Lord. Is that our cry as we share the good news? How to avoid the fire of hell? Just one more, Lord. Let me have one more. Paul said, I'm running a race that God has given me. I'm not going to quit. I'm going to keep going even though I know it's going to be tough. Even though there's opposition. Because God has told me there's a plan that he wants me to do. We need to see also, God has not promised us that there will not be opposition as we share the good news. He just promised us a security for all eternity in heaven because of the blood of Jesus Christ. We need to share that with others. There's many ways that we can do that. As I mentioned, with these different tracts, different things. Paul says, I'm not going to see you guys anymore. None of you will see my face. Paul said, I've done everything I was supposed to. I am innocent of your blood. That goes back to Ezekiel 33, talking about the watchman. The watchman who's on duty to watch for danger. If he doesn't warn the city, the people that die are the responsibility. Their blood is on the hands of the watchman. But if the watchman does warn everybody and they don't do anything about it, the watchman is innocent because he did his job. Paul says, I am innocent of your blood. I have done everything. But now I want you to know, I'm not going to be there anymore. There are going to be people that come in that want to lead you astray for the love of money. You know, like what it looks like, the money there. There are some people that stand behind pulpits because they think it's an easy way to make money. Paul says, I didn't take any of your silver, any of your gold. You didn't even buy me a suit of clothes. I was here to try to tell you the truth. We need to remember, Paul gave us an example. As he followed the example of the Lord, and he quoted Jesus, which you won't find that quote anywhere in the Gospels. But of course, the Gospel tells us, matter of fact, John says, you know, there's not enough books to write down everything that Jesus said. Paul said, the Lord said, Jesus said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. What are we going to give to other people? What will be our legacy when we're left behind? Did we quit? Or did we go on fighting the fight that God has called us? So we can say at the end of our life, as Paul did at the end of his, I have run the race. I have finished the course. Now there's a crown waiting for me in heaven, for which God is the one that is responsible. One of the groups, one of my favorite groups called Casting Crowns, they get their name from Revelation, where people lay down their crowns in heaven before God. Because we're not worthy of any crown. It's all because of Jesus. Let's share the good news with all we encounter. And don't worry that there's going to be opposition. Because God has a plan and he'll take care of everything. Stand with me for our closing prayer. If there's any decision that you need to make, God is calling you to do. Any questions you have, I'll be here at the end of the service. And you can take the last of the tracts. I know where to get more. So don't worry about it. Well, I'm going to take the last one.
That's okay.
I don't think, well, take credit. I was going to say, I don't think anybody can walk into the church and take a tract. But we got a bunch of those people coming in to vote on Tuesday. So some of them are probably not Christians, but with that exception, people are not necessarily going to come to the church to try it. Take them out and put them everywhere. Lord, thank you for this time to be here. Let us be your light, reflecting your light to the world, showing people true repentance, making them aware that there is a judgment coming, and that through your blood alone, there is salvation. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
God's good.